1,878. That's how many unintentional drug-induced deaths occurred in 2022, far exceeding the road toll for that year, according to the Pennington Institute's 2024 annual overdose report. Research from the University of New South Wales also highlights a concerning upward trend in overdose-related deaths, with statistics seeing an average increase of 4.2% per year between 2004 and 2023, an issue impacting people from all walks of life and their loved ones. This Sunday hosts the world's largest annual campaign to end overdose. Convened by the Pennington Institute, the day aims to put vital conversation in the spotlight. Nikki Page spoke with Director of Research, Dr. Jake Dizzard, to hear more.
I'm from a part of the United States, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that has been an epicenter of the United States overdose crisis for a very long time. I know many people and families that have been directly affected by overdose, so I've always been interested in actions that can be taken both by communities and governments to limit the number of overdoses and stop the pain that overdose causes for people and communities.
A question which is relating to the pain that overdose causes people, would you agree that one of the issues is that people don't think it's important enough because they think it doesn't affect them?
I think that there certainly is a stigma and a discrimination attached to drug use in general, certainly in part because it is illegal and in part because people associate it with elements of society that they disassociate themselves from in some ways. First of all, that's just not true. Overdose affects people from all walks of life. It is a common thing across different types of communities and different social strata all across Australia. It is also not just about illicit substances. Most overdose deaths involve a variety of substances, what we call polydrug use. And in many times, that includes prescription drugs, for instance. So antidepressants, antipsychotics, benzodiazepines, these are all types of drugs that are frequently implicated in overdose. So it is simply the sort of stereotype that a lot of people have in their head that it's just somebody who may have refused help and maybe is taking methamphetamine or heroin is just very often not true.
The statistics are shocking, really, aren't they? Almost twice the number of road traffic deaths every year in Australia, just speaking about Australia. Who is being hit hardest?
So one of the first things to note is that since the time period that we have good data for, which is basically the beginning of this century, the rate of overdose deaths has increased across the country and increased in nearly every state and territory. I'm glad to say it is down a little bit, a peak in the late 2010s, around 2018, but it is still significantly higher than it was in 2001. In terms of drug types, it's hard to say that the burden is falling hardest on anyone in particular. Certainly, opioids, which includes not just heroin, but all sorts of pharmaceutical opioids and some other illicit drugs as well, have been consistently the drug most commonly involved in overdose. But aside from opioids, it runs the gamut of drug types. I mentioned some of the other pharmaceutical types before. Also, stimulants, including methamphetamine, that's the second most commonly involved drug type. But really, it's something that crosses boundaries.
Do we have any idea of the impact of safe injecting rooms?
It's hard to say because there are a lot of things that affect the number of overdoses in any given year. It's a little bit hard to detect the effect of those from a society-wide public health level. But we know simply from the numbers that are produced by the overdose prevention sites in Melbourne and Sydney, people routinely show up and require care from the nursing and medical staff at those sites, and they have reversed hundreds of overdoses over the lifespan of those two services. I'm glad you mentioned those sites because it actually draws our attention to one of the most important policy initiatives the community can engage in to limit overdose deaths, which is wider distribution of naloxone, which is a really effective reversal drug for opioid overdoses. Completely safe, can be any member of the public can be easily trained to administer it safely. It won't cause negative adverse effects if the person is not suffering from an opioid overdose. And the federal government has, and state governments as well, have made some important progress in getting wider distribution of naloxone, but we still want to see it distributed much more widely, including being carried by all first responders, including police. We're making progress on getting it into more first aid kits and having naloxone administration be part of first aid training, but it's still not standard part of all first aid kits, including in nightlife venues and entertainment venues where overdose might occur. So we still want to see wider distribution. I just want to highlight International Overdose Awareness Day is this coming Sunday, August 31st. We really just want to emphasize that it's an opportunity for communities to hold events, to encourage building awareness of overdose, overdose prevention, remembering loved ones, and generally taking action to prevent this very unnecessary tragedy.
Director of Research at the Pennington Institute, Dr. Jake Dizzard, speaking with Nikki Page.